The opportunity had been there for thousands of years. But finally, now they had this contact with farming societies, it appeared that they adopted a low-yielding form of maize called chapalote. Now, this is a small popcorn of great genetic diversity, which arrived in the Southwest somewhere between 2000 and 1500 BC. Here the people soon crossbred it with indigenous wild teosinte to produce a far more productive hybrid maize. Now, these people were not amateurs as far as plants were concerned. They might be beginning to cultivate, but they were well aware of what could be done with it. At first, maize was a casual supplement to the traditional diet, just as it had been in the Southwest, just as it had been with other crops, of course, in both cases, in northern China. But then things changed. As maize de ocho, with its larger, more productive kernels, appeared, a large kerneled corn adapted to the realities of the Southwest began to be used. And this was very suitable for an environment like the Southwest, where growing seasons were short and the environments varied dramatically within a few miles. But the real change came later, after 500 BC, after there'd been maize in the Southwest for at least 1,000 years. This was the point that Southwestern farmers, living in small, scattered settlements, combine maize with beans. Beans, of course, have one very vital advantage. If they are underplanted with maize, they return vital nitrogen to the soil, which has been sucked out of it by the maize. So they were underplanted. And if you combine the two, it enables the farmer to maintain the fertility of the soil very much longer. The result, in the Southwest, a much greater dependence on agriculture in Southwestern life at a critical moment when populations locally were rising and where people were beginning to settlement in much more permanent villages, which eventually became the pueblos of the Southwest. Between AD 300 and 500, another complex of tropical plants, including pigweed and cotton, arrived in the Southwest. These crops were more demanding. They required more irrigation. They required warmer conditions and were confined to the southern areas of the Southwest. So you get here developing a scenario of small-scale agriculture, more intensive settlements, the beginning of irrigation, a very sophisticated adaptation to a very, very complex, harsh environment. So as life became more sedentary, people began to invest more and more time in agriculture. Why? Because it produced protection from wild food shortages. The result? Gradual cultural change during the first millennium AD, which culminated in the great Pueblo cultures of the Southwest, which we describe in Lecture 31. Let's now move to eastern North America, to the Midwest and the East, where equally well maize agriculture became firmly entrenched in the last 2,000 years. After 10,000 BC, at a time when there were major environmental changes in Europe, when there were beginnings of farming in Southwest Asia, and perhaps even in Egypt, the archaic hunter-gatherer societies of eastern North America were becoming increasingly diverse. As we said before, many of them settled in fertile river valleys, by estuaries and on lake shores. And as these populations rose slowly, local hunter-gatherer territories became more confined, and some plant foods began to be in short supply. How do people cope with this problem?